Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Anybody want a cigarette?
No! Carrie, you said you were quitting!
I can't quit. I had a fight with Big.
Oh, again? No.
What did he say?
He said he doesn't want to eat McDonald's.
And when Parvashenko arrives in that control room, he tells them, and this is true, that essentially the core exploded. And they basically say to him, no, right, that's not correct.
Well, I've said it before on the show, it's a wonderful time for therapists and folks with disabilities because technology is advancing at such a high rate.
Get set for samples from, with special guest Lauren Lapkus, the Chernobyl podcast and speech science podcast. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing research and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. First up this week is a podcast that turns the classic interview format on its head. From Earwolf comes with special guest Lauren Lapkus, a podcast where the guest is the host. Take a seat with comedian and podcasting powerhouse Lauren Lapkus as she passes off her hosting duties to a new funny friend every week. Lauren is always the guest, as an original character or one her host holds secret till they've announced her. It's the host show. Lauren is just along for the ride. But you never know who's going to show up with hosts like Conan O'Brien, Maria Bamford, and Jason Matsoukas. The hour-long improvised interview show will go just about anywhere and make you laugh while going there. With special guest Lauren Lapkus has a new season coming out, so stay tuned. In the meantime, here's a taste sample featuring Lauren's comedy group, Wild Horses. This episode, she passes the hosting reins to fellow comedians Aaron Whitehead, Stephanie Allen, and Mary Holland, and joins them on their new brunch podcast.
She's the host, but she's always the guest. And the guest is the host, so she's not really the host. It's with special guest, Lauren Lapkus, with your host, somebody else.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
And I'm Miranda.
I'm Charlotte.
And we're the ones you don't hear enough about.
That's right. Here we are in our favorite spot, our brunch spot.
Our brunch house.
Our place.
Our place. I love coming here and ordering something nice and light.
Nice and light, honey. I had enough in me last night. I don't need much more.
I don't know about these chairs. I'm uncomfortable.
When will our best friend get here?
All right. We should have talked about our special guest at brunch today. She's probably running late from Biggs.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. I bet she's so in love
I'm
with
here.
Him.
Who are you guys talking about?
Carrie!
Oh. Hi!
Carrie, you look so cute today.
What day don't I look cute? Am I right? You look thinner. It makes me feel fat.
Oh, Miranda. Honey, you have more high fashion in your closet than I've had dicks in my vagina, and that's saying a lot.
Anybody want a cigarette?
No! Carrie, you said you were quitting.
I can't quit. I had a fight with Big.
Oh, again?
No. What happened?
What did he say?
He said he doesn't want to eat McDonald's.
Does he call your vagina McDonald's?
Yes. And he said he's not going back there because of the high fat content.
Well, honestly, I think he's right. I think McDonald's isn't good for you, Carrie, and you shouldn't eat it so much.
No, I mean, he literally calls my vagina McDonald's.
Charlotte, we're talking about her fat labia.
He calls your vagina McDonald's?
Because anyone can get in at any time.
Drive through, honey.
Open 24 hours.
A sample of the podcast with special guest Lauren Lapkus from Earwolf. Check out the show's newest season right now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to our Podcast Central collection this week comes the Chernobyl podcast. It's a five-part miniseries that accompanies the new HBO series Chernobyl. Join NPR's Peter Sagal and series creator Craig Mazin. After each episode, they talk about the true stories that shape the scenes, the themes, the characters, and the chilling insights into the events surrounding the Chernobyl disaster. The Chernobyl podcast dissects how the new HBO series feels more like an extended horror movie than a TV show. You'll hear stories of courage and bravery, as well as the damage caused by both physical and metaphorical fallout in the days, weeks, and years following the catastrophe. Each episode of the Chernobyl podcast airs directly after the TV episode, so you don't have to wait to get your rundown each week. Check out this taste from the first episode of the Chernobyl podcast. Craig and Peter talk about the premiere of Chernobyl, as well as what drew Craig into the story in the first place. In fact, they dig in as to when and why he chose to deviate from what actually happened.
The second guy who runs in is a guy named Pervyshenko. Pervyshenko, we will see later on where he was working. Pervyshenko saw way more.
Right.
And when Pervyshenko arrives in that control room, he tells them, and this is true, that essentially the core exploded. And they basically say to him, no,
right.
That's not correct. He proceeds on. Everything he does from that point forward, this is the real man, and we reflect it somewhat in what we show. He did with the full understanding that he was likely a dead man walking. There were a number of people who did things like that that night. We couldn't tell all the stories, but they were remarkable. One of the workers at the plant who became aware of the full scope of the accident fairly early on did what he could to make things better. He went home, he took a nap, he woke up, and then he went back. There was this sense that if you had broken through the denial and gotten on the other side of it, which was an understanding of reality, you had an obligation,
right,
to do what you could to prevent it from getting worse. Conversely, you have guys like Akimov and Toptunov, who are the two guys that are working the control board that night. They're the ones who, towards the end of this episode, are opening the valves by hand.
Right. Even though they know
on some level
that it is utterly pointless, that they're basically spraying water into the air, because that is such an extraordinary moment when Dyatlov says, you need to go do this.
Yeah.
And they know it's pointless because Dyatlov's whole picture of the situation, i.e. they need to get water in the core, is ridiculous because there is no core. It's gone. It's blown up. It's a huge atomic pile. But they go.
Yeah.
Years ago, I read John Keegan's book about World War I, and he writes about trench warfare. And he writes about how these guys in the trenches, British soldiers, went over the top and were immediately killed. Right. And he writes about why they did that. And I met him once. He did a book reading, and I said, okay, you explain why the first guys went over.
What about the second guys?
What about the second
right,
guys?
Right, right.
They just saw everybody they knew follow their orders, do it according to the book, and immediately be killed by machine gun fire, and then they went.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of that very vividly and specifically thinking about those specific two characters.
Yep.
They knew this was pointless. They knew if they went out there, they were dead. And they were right about that. How much did you have to think about those men, their minds, at that moment?
A lot. So much of writing a moment like that is asking, what do I want people to feel here? What is the emotional truth that I want them to believe? And I have to make certain choices. I have to decide, in some ways, states of mind that I don't have access to. But behind all of this is this almost heartbreaking social circumstance, that these people grew up in the Soviet Union, where community and communism, these words have connected roots. It was understood that you were part of a collective and that you were there to support your fellow man and your fellow woman. These kind of pro-social messages were promoted by people that I don't think were very pro-social at all. The leadership of the Soviet Union, but the people often did believe it and feel it. And you can see this in all of the history of 20th century Russia and the surrounding areas that the Soviet Union encompassed. So I think some of this was a sense of, I don't know what else to call it, but Soviet civic duty. It is very noble and admirable and beautiful, and then, of course, profoundly sad underneath it. But it's why I say, if this had happened in the United States, I think, for instance, if Three Mile Island had exploded in this regard, I think what would happen is that we would have evacuated the area very quickly and then just, I don't know, put a rope around a large section of the middle Atlantic and said, no one can go there anymore, and we're, because we can't send people in because they'll die.
Right.
And that would have been it.
Yeah. And this will come up again in later episodes, exactly how this either insane self-sacrifice, this brainwashing, this extraordinary nobility, there are 100 ways of looking at it, played an extraordinarily important role.
That was the Chernobyl podcast from HBO and Pineapple Street Media. Hear more about one of the worst man-made disasters in human history and the men and women that risked their lives to stop it on the Chernobyl podcast, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local Cincinnati feature this week is Speech Science Podcast, hosted by Matt Hott, Michael McLeod, Michelle Wintering, and Lucas Stoiber. Speech Science interviews leaders in the field of speech and language therapy, individuals who are making a difference in the lives of others with disabilities, and individuals who have overcome deficits in their own lives. Each week, the hosts offer news stories related to the field, as well as critical reviews of literature, tools, and ideas related to speech and language therapy and audiology. But the podcast isn't just for experts in the field, though. The Speech Science Podcast is a great way for anyone to learn more about the less often discussed area of behavioral and cognitive science. Take a listen to this clip from a recent episode of the Speech Science Podcast featuring Dr. Lynn Williams. On the episode, the host discussed the link between dementia and telephone scams, as well as the role of the American Speech Language Hearing Association in making the world a more accessible place.
But first, a positive story involving AAA and ASHA, AAA, the governing body for audiologists. This one comes out of the PRWeb.com. AAA and ASHA issue suggested best practices for determining eligibility for captioned telephone services. I've never actually used a captioned telephone service, but I will look to Michelle, who used to work as an SLP in a hearing impaired school, correct?
School for the Deaf and the Blind.
I didn't want to mispronounce it. But what is a captioned telephone service?
Well, I know there's a wide variety, and obviously I haven't needed to use them personally, but I've seen them used, and it can be either there's options that are online where you text your message and then someone calls, physically makes the phone call for you. Or they type out what someone says and you read it. But then there's also relay services that are video-based, because I had a couple coworkers who actually worked as a side gig doing interpreting, who were hearing a new sign language, like teachers of the deaf, who would work with a relay service, video relay, and they'd be on call to take calls.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Between, say, Matt would call, I would be the interpreter, and then your deaf friend is on the other line signing back to me, and then I voice it to you if I were the interpreter. I'm not an interpreter, FYI.
Fair enough. Well, and this is talking about minimal standards determining eligibility for funding. This is one of those new gray paths that we're kind of all working our ways into as technology speeds up. I've said it before on the show, it's a wonderful time for therapists and folks with disabilities, because technology is advancing at such a high rate.
A sample from the Cincinnati-created Speech Science Podcast with Matt Hott, Michelle Wintering, Michael McLeod, and Lucas Stoiber. Get some great insights into the world of speech and language therapy with this Speech Science Podcast, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Each week, we wrap up the episode with a quick look at the most popular podcasts around the nation from Apple Podcasts, as reported by iTunesCharts.net. Well, this week is an example of what goes to the top stays at the top. These three podcasts, The Shrink Next Door, White Lies, and Against the Rules with Michael Lewis, all hit the top of the charts in the past month, and of last week, all continue to share the number one spot. This goes to show you that true crime and unique stories are the fuel for podcasting's fire. For more information about these podcasts, be sure to check out the Start Here newsletter. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here email from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.